read from the Bible, the New Testament, we get the Christianity comes from four main accounts in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, but obviously other people who knew Jesus at the time and throughout the New Testament and stuff. But my favourite bit that talks about Christianity is John chapter 14. I'm reading from verse 6 onwards, just a few verses, where Jesus is talking to people who know him. Okay, he had 12 very close friends during his life, but obviously more disciples as well. John chapter 14, verse 6 to 16. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." So here's this guy comes from nowhere, says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Seems like a pretty bold statement. And they say, "Hang on, that's nice. We love you and everything, but just show us God. This God you're talking about, show us him, show us the Father." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even if I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work." And Jesus obviously was making a very, very bold claim. Rather than what a lot of people tend to do sometimes, leaders and movements and political parties will say, "This is the way." He's actually saying, "I am the way." And that is actually quite radical to say that. We're going to see a baptism in a moment, and we're looking forward to it. I remember two events concerning the Christian church when I was young that made me, I just could not get out of my head. Once I watched on TV, there was like, I kind of was a teenager in the 80s, so people who are a similar age to me will remember TV at the time. But I remember, before all the satellite TV came along, on Sunday morning, there was this kind of, I call it a religious program. I was at church somewhere, and these people were being baptized and talking quite like Cain did just. And I watched the whole thing, and I thought, what is it that makes somebody want to be baptized? What is it that makes somebody want to join the church and be baptized and literally give the rest of their life to this belief? Because if they're doing that, then surely there has to be something in it. Also about the same time, my uncle moved house, and I had to go to his house to take something to him one day. I wasn't quite sure where he lived. It was not far from me, in the part of town where I lived, but my mum had been there quite a lot, but I forgot. So I knocked on this door, and it was the wrong door. And these elderly ladies came to the door, and they said this. I said, is Harry here? I said, "Uncle Harry," because he was my uncle, so I thought, same there. And they said, "No, he lives there. But can you," she says, "we're just having a prayer meeting. We'll come out." I thought, "A prayer meeting? What the blooming heck's a prayer meeting? When don't you do that in church?" You know, but I went away and I saw the warmth on this woman's face. I looked in there, I saw the smiles, and I thought, there is something going on in there. And I walked away thinking this. If that is genuine, I don't want to die without it. Because that's my wife, she's just turning me off. She's got this at home as well. Probably my daughter has done something wrong. We're eating a sweet first. But I thought, if there is something in this belief in this Christianity that is real, then I can't die without it. It's like if you said to me, Goody's Fish and Chip Shop is the best fish and chip shop in Romsey. I could say to you, no, it isn't. And you could say, yes, it is. And I could say, no, it isn't. I could think, well, actually, if I try it for myself, I will then know. And myself, as a, when I grew up a bit later, when I was 19 years old, one day I met a group of Christians in the town where I lived, Derby in the East Midlands. And it was pretty much like this morning. We were worshipping on the street. There was a big sort of open air thing. Some guy who was probably better looking than me was speaking from the Bible as well. And I looked there and I thought, I have not got any evidence, because you can't actually say that God doesn't exist, because to say that God doesn't exist, you've got to scientifically scour the whole of the universe and looked at it and said, actually, I've been around the whole universe, he's not there. He might be out there somewhere, guys. You know, I'm thinking, it's not scientific to say that he doesn't exist. And then people began to talk to me about other bits in the Bible. Jesus, in John chapter 3, said, "Very truly, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Talked to this Jewish leader when he said that. Further on, most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so I thought, let's investigate this. I don't want to go along to the church and be all religious and God. I can't do it secretly, you know. Because at that point, I'm thinking, you know, I'm sort of a young lad, and I'm thinking, yeah, the universe came to exist by a random quantum fluctuation in a vacuum 13.8 billion years ago. Although we're told that, but no one actually saw it. And science elsewhere says that for one atom to come out of nowhere, it would need another one to evolve for no reason at the same time that has the same properties as the other one, in fact, billions, for it to work. So science proves itself wrong in some areas and feels it has something to say in other areas. But anyway, I thought, if this Jesus is real, then I've got to find something out. And I went to this particular church and I had listened to someone speak. He mentioned four things. He said, firstly, the four points of the gospel. Number one, there is a God. And I thought, no, there isn't. It's all rubbish. I don't want to do this religious stuff dancing around. So no, there is a God. There is a God. Okay. He then said, mankind has turned away. Now, if you look at the state of the world's in, lots of horrible things going on. You probably notice on the news that different things are happening. And there's wars here and wars there and disease and stuff. That's probably some indication that mankind has chosen to go his own way. In fact, in that verse there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, man's eternal, you know, destiny, according to the Bible, is that he will perish in hell. And I'm thinking, well, the whole world has fallen apart and nothing. And so this guy says there is an answer. And that Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, God in the flesh, came to the earth 2,000 years ago and died on the cross and was actually punished on the cross for every single thing that we have ever done wrong. Everything that we've done wrong. I can give you an illustration of that if you want. I once went into a restaurant with my wife and this friend of ours called Debbie years ago, before we had my daughter Ashley. And she took us to a restaurant somewhere, I think it was in Winchester. And with this nice meal, and delicious. It was one of those restaurants like Slug and Lettuce. Like all they do is garlic bread and chips and stuff like that. And you want something healthy, but it's not there, but it tastes nice anyway. You know, and it sends your blood pressure sky high and everything else. But probably part of my problem, actually. But it was really nice. At the end of it, Debbie says, I'm just going to the toilet. She came back and I said, okay, right, what's the bill? She said, I paid for it. It's all done. I said, what? You paid for it? She said, yeah, I paid for the whole thing. It's all paid for. You're going to worry about it. And what Jesus says to mankind, he says, I have been punished for everything you've ever done wrong. But what does that mean for me? What he actually says then to all of us is simply this. He says, what are you going to do about it personally? Because everyone has the opportunity of accepting Jesus or rejecting him. So the fourth point, we have to respond. And what he says in the Bible is quite simply this. That for those who ask Jesus Christ into their life to be their heart and to be their Lord and Saviour and get baptised, the Bible promises them forgiveness, eternal life. You know, I'm 52 years old. I had a, believe it or not, kind of a heart scare the other day. It's really weird. I mean, I feel such a fraud because of it. But when I was in hospital, I thought, do you know what? I'm not going to live forever. You know, Southampton are not going to ask me to play for them. Although if they did, it would probably do them well because they got thrashed by Liverpool yesterday. But so I might end up paying for them the way things are going. But my life's the way I'm thinking. At that moment when my life ends, whether it's tomorrow or 40, 50 years time, I want to know and have the assurance that on the other side God's going to welcome me, and He will not welcome me for anything good I've done, because whether it's good or bad, it doesn't mean anything. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then that gives you forgiveness. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He looks at this world in the New Testament, and he looks at this world now and says, I am offering you the only answer. Because I look at the world, I look at everything that's out there, I just know the world needs an answer. And the world isn't in, the answer is not in a political system. Like our relationship with the European Union has changed, and some people love that and some people hate it. But I don't think it will make that much difference in that sense. I think the answer, personally, is still Christianity. That is what I think, personally. I haven't made a problem standing up and saying that. And that's the thing about baptism. That's the thing about Christianity. What Kate has done this morning is stood up and saying, hey, you believe what you want or what you don't want. I love you all, but I'm following Jesus Christ. Now, that is radical. Because if you want to be a rebel, don't do what everyone else does. Because everyone else is a rebel. Everyone else is smashing the world up and doing all the rubbish stuff. But if you want to be a rebel, follow Jesus Christ. That's just my suggestion. I might be wrong. I'm a little bit stupid, and you might think I'm a bit of an idiot. But follow Jesus Christ. Discover him. Find out if he's real. I know Kate can say this, but I can say this, that since I've become a Christian, December 1986 was when I became a Christian, when I was 19. Don't work out how old I am, I probably told you earlier. But he has given me peace. I go to bed every night thinking, do you know what? I know inside that God loves me. I know that because he died on the cross that I'm going to heaven forever. And I know that I can give problems to every single day. And this, one of the reasons I know it is because I read the Bible and I read about people who have had these experiences, who just talk about how Jesus made a difference in their life. When Christianity started, I mean, it just exploded out of the Holy Land, right around the world, right on the Mediterranean, Rome, everywhere, and just went absolutely everywhere, just from one man who stood up and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And also, Jesus then talks about baptism, because baptism demonstrates to the world, I have changed. It's like in the House of Commons about 6-7 months ago, when before we had the current government had the majority, 8 MPs crossed the aisle, didn't they, and went from Conservative to the other side. They walked in and said, we are now changing sides. That's what baptism is. Baptism is where you're saying, I am now changing sides. You do what you want to do, but I am now following Jesus. Hate me, love me, but this is what I'm doing. I still love you. If you don't believe, that's cool. I respect you and love you. If you believe some other system, that's fine. I respect you and love you. But I'm following Jesus, and I want to display his love and his character in my life. Mark 15, I'll just draw to a close, and we'll go through baptism in about 2 minutes. Mark 15, verses 14 to 16. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. We have a cross in this church at the back there, and I absolutely love that because it means whenever I walk in here, it reminds me of the fact that my eternal destiny was bought for me by Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you can know that today. And if you would like to know more about the Christian faith, please ask me afterwards. I have discovered myself, absolutely, that the claims of Jesus Christ in the Bible are absolutely and utterly genuine. Yeah, and completely. And I will go, they can burn me at the stake for that, because that's my testimony to the day I die. There's no one else worth following. There's no political leader, certainly no football team at the moment, but that's me. And Kay stood this morning and said that. And I would not want to put anyone on the spot today, but I would like you to consider what I've said. If you want to email me, you can find me on Facebook. You say, that's great what you shared, Dave, but what about this, what about that? Please do that, it's perfectly fine. You know, I can ask any questions, answer any questions. I'm down here most days, and you can come down and chat to me about anything about the Christian faith. So I just want to literally pray right now. And when I do that, I want to obviously afterwards give an opportunity I want to obviously allow the band to sing, and I'll go out and come back and we'll have the baptism. But I want to pray right now. I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Lord, we thank you for the fact that today we have heard somebody stand up and say, my life's great. You brought some people, great people in my life. But I was like this, and now I'm like this. I have discovered Christianity. And Lord, there may be many in this room today who agree. Many in this room who think, well, do you know what? I don't believe in Christianity personally, but I do respect what you've done. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody in this room today at all who has questions about it, I pray, Lord, you can answer them questions for them in the next few weeks. I pray that, Lord, you can lead them across the right people. I pray that you can have conversations today, Lord, where people just feel able to ask and talk about the Christian faith. And Lord, we pray for your blessing on everybody. But thank you for Kate, Lord, I pray for her. I pray that her Christian life will be productive. And Lord, we pray that you're with us throughout the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.